If you want to do something that's hard or intimidating or scary or take the leap into owning your own business or whatever it may be, if you don't feel supported, I feel like that alone makes it so much harder to do. But if you feel like you have the support system in place, which is literally what community means, I feel like you can do anything.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Hey there, welcome back to the show, and thank you for hitting play on this episode today. Wherever you are, I appreciate you for being here. I am recording this from my brand new, to me, studio in my new house that I just bought in Bozeman, Montana, which happens to be just across town from our guest today. I am here with Cassidy Van Orden, who has such an inspiring story that I can't wait to get into. And let me just say, especially if you are interested in being in women-focused spaces or communities, you're going to want to listen up because Cass is the founder of a movement and a community called Girl Get After It. So we're going to get into what that is all about and hear why it's even a thing. So Cass, thank you for being here today and welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Jackie. I'm stoked.
Me too. We were just saying before I started hit record that I feel like this is very overdue because we've actually known each other for quite a long time since before Girl Get After It was even born, and we were just trying to even connect it, and it's been too long. It's like, I don't even remember.
Yeah. I mean, Bozeman, everyone's like 2 degrees of separation away from each other.
That's so true. It's like, yeah.
Trying to think out how the maze of people who introduced us or how we got to know each other, we don't even know. But
yeah. I will say, though, the reason that I was trying to remember is because I remember when you started Girl Get After, or I remember when it was new. I was traveling a whole lot at that time, but I do remember when it was young and new. I remember you posting about it, and I remember being aware of it. But wow. Okay. Just even in preparation for this episode today, I was looking at your website again, because I've looked at it over the years, right? And I got into the like chapters, or, you know, all the communities where you have people in real life doing these things. And I'm like, oh my, this is even bigger than I'm even realizing that it's gotten. And I just want to say congratulations, because I know, I mean, to an extent, like what it takes and what it feels like to, I guess, start like have a community around you. And it's not a simple thing. It's not like, it's not light, you know, it takes a lot of dedication and motivation, ambition and intention behind it and organization. And I'm looking at this like, wow, it's gorgeous. So congrats for everything that you've accomplished. And now I guess we could tell the story about it, because yeah, I'm impressed, and I'm excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like the last, I guess it's almost been 9 years since starting Girl Get After It, I kind of just blacked out a little bit and like woke up one day and here we are.
Except not, like there's a whole story in the middle there. Yeah. But yeah. But I'm clapping for you. Good job. It's neat to see what it's turning into and still going. I mean, still growing, like it's, yeah. And who knows like where it's all going to lead now. But
I feel like people ask me the question all the time of like, what's next? You know?
Oh, yeah.
What's your goal in a year, 3 years or 5 years? And I'm in totally a place where like, I don't know what that answer is, because I'm just totally in it. But it feels really good to be in it. And I feel like we're at a really good point where things feel like they're in a flow. Which they didn't always feel that way. So it feels a good place to be.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so maybe let's start at the beginning, because nobody knows what we're talking about. So I apologize, listeners, that we kind of just went there, but we did that. So yeah, let's back up a little bit and start with, you and your story, and, you know, maybe some of your background that has shaped you into this version of you that you are now that started Girl Get After It. So yeah, where does that start with you?
Well, I grew up in Montana, actually, in a very, very small town called Cardwell. It's about 45 minutes west of Bozeman. You blink, you miss it. It's that small. And I say that because that very much shaped who I am today. Like growing up, my family also owned a bar and steakhouse, which was very different from all of my friends who were kids of ranchers and farmers and agricultural people. Like I was behind a bar learning how to make margaritas when I was 8 years old.
That sounds like Montana.
It is very, very Montana. And, you know, I loved my childhood. And in doing so, I say that because my parents owned their own business since I was two. And so I think entrepreneurship and doing your own thing has kind of always been ingrained in me. And I kind of always knew in a weird way that that was going to be my path. I think because I got the stubbornness from my dad, definitely, of like not really being liked being told what to do and kind of just forging my own path and doing my own thing and making my own decisions and making my own rules. So I grew up in Montana. I left for college. I went to Washington State University over in Pullman, studied advertising because I loved Nike commercials and I wanted to like work for Nike. That was my goal growing up.
I love how this is connecting dots in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see this. Okay,
I know. It all makes sense, right? Yes. So I went to college, graduated. I actually got a job back in Bozeman before I left school that had me move back home, where I worked for the Montana State University Bobcats for their sports marketing department, which is very much in line with my passions and what I studied, and felt like I was on this right path towards something that I was going to love and grow into. Then when I was about 23 years old, my dad actually had a really serious stroke. And it was a stroke that ended up putting him in the hospital and in ICU for about 3 months. And at that time, I decided to move back in with my mom and help her run the family business because she couldn't do it by herself. I was the only child that didn't really have a family or kids or lives elsewhere. Like, I was the only one that could really do this. So it was kind of helping my mom out. My dad was in the hospital trying to, you know, gain back everything that he lost from his stroke. But it was one of those scenarios where he was taking one step forward, two steps back. And then after 3 months, he actually passed away from stroke complications. And at that time, my life changed completely. And it took a complete 180 where I thought I was living this like quote unquote perfect life as somebody in the early 20s. I was living downtown Bozeman, had a downtown apartment, a great job. I was single, having so much fun, like just living the life. And then my dad passes away and it completely wrecked me. And I didn't know how to handle it, to be honest, emotionally, mentally. Any relationships that I had were kind of put on the back burner. And I think that was a really big part because I was a pretty emotionally closed off person growing up and I didn't know how to handle any of those emotions. So what I would do is I would just recluse and I would close off and I would not talk about it. I would kind of act like everything was fine. And looking back in hindsight, I think a lot of that stems from growing up in the hospitality space and kind of putting on this front in this space because you're in front of customers and the customer is always right and you're sort of in this people-pleasing mentality. So I think that was ingrained in me. And unfortunately, it's something that I latched onto when I was dealing with grief and the loss of my dad. So I became extremely depressed. And at the time, I didn't pinpoint it to be depression. I just pinpointed it as I was this 23-year-old that just lost her dad. And that was what it was. And my grief process was years long. And I think it was the first time that I had dealt with losing somebody that close to me. Like, I never even dealt with a family member going to the hospital. So it was very jarring. And that process lasted years. And what I sort of realized in that time as I was struggling was, how do I start filling my time with people and things and even places that would lift me up? Like, I needed something to just get me out of this hole that I was in. And one way and one thing that I knew that I needed was to, like, meet new people. And I think living in Bozeman, growing up in the area, like, I had a great crew of friends that are still my friends to this day. But I think what I was doing to cope with what was really going on inside was going out to party, going to dinner, going to drinks. And that really wasn't doing anything for me. And I wanted to meet new friends. And how do you do that as an adult post-college that doesn't really have this circle of friends built in? Like, where are these people? Where are these women? Where are the women that like getting outside, trying new workouts, and just hanging out for the fun of it? And there wasn't really anything out there at the time in Bozeman. Like, Jackie and I were chatting before hitting record of, like, we love Montana because it is 5 years behind the rest of the world, but sometimes it's like we wish it would catch up a little bit. And so, you know, back then, this was like 2017 timeframe. There wasn't really anything here that wasn't career focused or networking oriented, which was fine, but it wasn't something that really lit me up. I wanted to get outside, go on adventures, hit workouts up, like move my body and just have some fun. And so I decided that I was going to put on an event and just see who would come. Like maybe if I host something, the people will come. And it was totally a selfish reason. I, you know, chose to do this because it's something that I needed. I wasn't really thinking about anybody else at this time. And I put it up on Facebook because that was the main form of social media at the time. I put an event up on Facebook. I convinced my friend Nicole Wild. Shout out Nicole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nicole.
Yep. I convinced her to host a free yoga class.
Great.
And yeah, we had it at a place that I was working part-time. The Baxter Hotel in downtown Bozeman. We had it there because they're an event space and they wanted people into their doors. And so I put it out on Facebook and I thought maybe five of my friends were going to show up. And there at that first event was almost 50 women and I knew less than five of them.
Whoa.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. Because at the time, Bozeman was called Brosman. Like, there's 50 women in Bozeman? What?
Yeah. I used to call it Bozeman, Mantana. Yes.
Yes.
It's totally changed though.
Yeah, it has. Yes. And so, yeah, I put that event up. People came. We did yoga. We afterwards had like a small group discussion about work-life balance and then had some snacks and drinks. And I made stickers because I wanted people to actually walk away with something. I made stickers that said hashtag girl get after it. And they were so funny. They were like 5 inches by 2 inches, all white. And the logo was like teeny tiny in the middle. No graphic design skills back then. But I made stickers that said that and everybody took them. They were all gone by the end of the event. And after that event, before people walked out the door, they asked me, okay, what are we doing next month? What if we went into this? What if we go try this? And I kind of thought to myself, I was like, whoa, like, you want to keep meeting? Like, does this mean we're friends? Like, what?
Did I just make a friend?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It just like showed me that I was not the only person searching for this.
Sure.
And so that's what we did. We kept meeting and I kept putting things up on Facebook and we would go try a new yoga studio that opened up. We would get out for a hike together. We would meet up for coffee or happy hour. And it just spiraled and started to like grow. And that's how it started. Like, it, you know, I say that in the simplest way of I had no intention of starting anything, especially nothing that would turn into my career.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I went into it very just as a selfish reason to just simply meet other women and make new friends as an adult. And flash forward 9 years, here we are.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though, the power of and the mindset, I guess. It takes the right mindset and ambition, because a lot of people can think, oh, there's nothing out there for me that's, you know, fits this bill of what I'm looking for. But you decided to take it into your own hands and say, what if I did it? What if I'm the person? Yep. There's a question, or there's, I guess it's two questions that I love. If not me, who? And if not now, when? And you can apply that to so many things. But I love that you were like, I guess that's me. Let's start it now. You know, like, let's see what happens without having a plan.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I've just kind of always been like that, of just do it. You'll figure it out later. I'm so grateful for that trait too, because I know a lot of people get stuck places, and you know, it's the idea of perfect is the enemy of good, and not doing something because it's like not quite where you are. Where
yeah,
I feel like I've just kind of always been like, well, let's just do it, learn from it, figure it out, and see where it goes.
Love that. As a perfectionist myself, I always say done is better than perfect, you know, like at least get it out there. Just get it out there. And the more you do that, the more you flex that muscle, and it gets easier and easier to just try something else next time.
Yes, absolutely.
So what has it turned into? I mean, what? Yeah, we heard the beginning. So yeah, what is it now?
Yes. So I'll give you the spiel. So we are a community helping women meet new friends and try new things in the health, fitness, and outdoor space. And we do that in a variety of ways. So our in-person communities, where we host these monthly events, everything from outdoor adventures, like hikes, trail runs, mountain bike rides, to trying out new workouts, doing workshops. We have those groups in 20 cities across the country, which is pretty wild.
20. I didn't even scroll through all of them. I didn't make it through all of them. I started clicking into them and I like didn't even, that's amazing.
I know. And when anybody asks me like, oh, what cities are you in? I'm always like, wait, what city are you in? Like,
yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Let's
start
there, because I have to look at my list to literally remember all of them. But yeah, we have in-person communities in 20 cities across the country. And then we also host retreats like 3 or 4 times a year that focus on some sort of outdoor adventure piece. And then we mix in some really fun community, wellness, fun moments. And then we also have an e-commerce arm of our business where we sell merchandise, apparel. We do really fun new drops a few times a year. And then in addition to that, we work with some really amazing brands in the partnership space too.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Let's talk about a new bag from Osprey that's getting awards and lots of hype, the Scuffle. What in the world is a scuffle? Well, if you put square and duffel together, you get Scuffle, which is exactly what this bag is, a square-shaped duffel. Now, just to be clear, when it's all zipped up, it's rectangular and easy to carry with its stowaway backpack straps. But the coolest feature about this bag is that you not only have the option of opening it via the U-zip panel access to the top, but you can also unzip all the way around the perimeter of the bag, opening it up like a clamshell, which creates a square. If you need help imagining this, go to osprey.com and check out the Scuffle. That's S-Q-U-F-F-E-L to see this magic that I'm talking about. I love the clamshell option because I am a very organized packer. And with everything in its proper packing cube, I can further organize by packing clothes on one side of the clamshell and gear and toiletries on the other. There are zip dividers to keep the contents of each side secure, and these dividers are roll away if you prefer not to use them. I love a good versatile bag, and that's exactly what the Scuffle is. It comes in both 44 and 70 liter sizes, so you can carry it on or check it if you want. The zippers all slide super smoothly, which is important to me. It has burly webbing grab handles on every every side. Its Blue Sign approved Nano Tough exterior is remarkably strong and highly water resistant. So it's absolutely worthy of being thrown into the back of a pickup truck full of hockey gear for an away tournament. And when you get to said tournament and realize the rain leaked through the shell of the back of the truck, you'll be relieved that only your hockey gear is wet, not your clothes that were packed safely and securely inside your new scuffle. I wish I could say I wasn't speaking from experience on that one, but that is exactly why the scuffle gets full approval from me and two thumbs up. You can find the scuffle and all the packing cubes that fit perfectly inside it at osprey.com. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible. And you have an app, right? So it's actually a community that people can join. There's an app. It's very organized. I'm very impressed. So before we go on, if there are people out there right now like, wait, where do I go? How do I find this? Like, let's drop that real quick and then we can keep going.
Yeah. So if you head to our website, girlgetafterit.com, or any of our social media handles, which is all at girlgetafterit, you can find your local city, join via the membership platform. There's a couple ways to do that. You can do a monthly or a yearly option. And then once you do join, you get access to our app, which functions on both a desktop and then right at your fingertips on your phone, too.
Good for you. Amazing. I just love it. I remember when you first partnered with Lululemon and I was like, wow, like that's a big deal. And then, going back to the story about the Nike commercials, the dots that were connecting in my head, I was like, oh my God, she created her own Nike commercial, because basically like you did the Lululemon thing, but you also like with all of your merch, you're the person now who's in the commercials. And I love it. That was where my mind was going when I was listening to you, like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. But I also love that you said that you like studied marketing because you liked Nike commercials. It's such a small thing that you were able to identify and say, I really like that. What can I do with that? And then went to school for it. And now it's like snowballing.
Totally. It's totally a part of what I do now. And it's funny because I can literally pinpoint the one Nike commercial that really got me hooked. It was Tiger Woods' black and white commercial, and it was his dad's voice overlaid onto the commercial. I don't know if you remember this, but talking to Tiger, and it just like stops you in your tracks and it makes you feel something. And you're like, whoa, like I don't even golf. Like I do not golf at all, but I'm right. Invested. Like I want to be a part of this and learn more about it. And I think I loved that piece to marketing and to advertising. It's like, how do you connect with people and make them feel something? So I feel like I totally get to do that today with what I do for work. And I think if I were to actually have gone down the advertising path, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it that much. So I'm very thankful to be in the space that I am and then get to make people feel just in a different way.
Yeah. And so that's actually perfect. Let's get into that, because that's community. I mean, okay, will you... I share what happened during COVID, because I was reading your website and I was like, ooh, your mom said something really, really cool. And like the advice that you said you'll never forget. And so I would love to hear that story about basically what community is, why it's so important, and why it perseveres.
Yeah. So the story of COVID and, you know, getting back to community is very prevalent in how kind of I got here and how we are here. So before COVID, we were doing in-person events and having in-person communities. And at the time, we were in 5 cities, but just in the state of Montana, because I had some friends that lived in different cities reach out to me after seeing what I was doing on Facebook and ask me if they could bring it to life where they lived. So I kind of figured that out. Just kept it kind of a free Facebook group model, and was more just like a passion project at the time. Then COVID hits. Obviously, that derails our entire, I guess, business model, even though it really wasn't a business at the time. And we were forced to close almost every single group. The Bozeman group kept going, but in a very, very reduced, smaller scale. And we had to stop meeting in person. You know, everybody did worldwide. And what that did was a couple of things. I think at the time it forced us to get online. And so I did get online with our community and with Girl Get After It and created this online membership model platform space that I think served a purpose at the time. But to be honest, it didn't really have the same effect as meeting in person. And we leaned into it and it was great. And, you know, people joined and they loved it because they needed that piece of community, whether it was in person or online. We were all isolated. But I think as soon as people started to feel that Zoom fatigue and things started to slowly open back up more and people were like craving for in-person connection, I decided that this online piece was not it for me.
Yeah.
It was not it for me. Like I didn't want to show up to work and, you know, be online. And, you know, I feel like I was putting on a face in a way to just host this event and this workshop and this meetup, even though I didn't really want to be there. I wanted to be in person. And that was felt. It was felt from the people that were a part of our community. And so we hit a point where we were really focused on online. Yes, this online community piece, but we're also focused on our online merch too. And that was actually what was driving the business forward. And I'm really grateful for that. Everybody was online buying t-shirts, hoodies, hats. It's actually what allowed me to take the leap into Girl Get After It full time, which is crazy to say that that happened during 2020. Mm-hmm. So I say that because we were running all these online things. But then as soon as the society and the market started to shift back into in-person, the business model really took a hit. And I was like, oh no, what did I just do? Like I just, you know, stopped my marketing business to then like go into this passion project full time. And like, it wasn't really working. We weren't making an income. Nobody was buying t-shirts anymore. Like, oh my God, what's happening? And I was driving in my car headed to town and I was chatting with my mom on the phone and kind of chatting with her about just my struggles that I was having and that just like things weren't working. And she was like, why don't you start a membership model, like in-person membership model? And it was at the time where we started to slowly get the Bozeman group back running in person and like meeting pretty regularly, a little bit bigger groups. And I just kind of stopped and thought about it. And I was like, oh, mom, like that's actually a really good idea. Like, wow. And I think I've always been the type of person where charging money to people for things doesn't come naturally for me. Like, I just want to like give and do these cool things and like create a vibe mm-hmm. versus like making a business out of it. It's not really my strong suit. And I think that comes from like this people pleasing mentality that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. And I think for a really long time, the events and community piece to our brand were free. Like they were just on Facebook groups. And I'm so glad we did that. I feel like it taught me so much. You know, there was no pressure behind it. Mm-hmm. But then when I was talking with my mom and she had brought up this piece of like, why not? Like what you bring to the table is valuable and people will see that. And it'll give you purpose again and get you back to what you really love doing, which is creating this in-person community. And so from that moment on is when I just like kind of flipped a switch and I was like, you know what? Why not try this out? Like there's membership models for all different types of things. Like why not this? And so I put it out there on social at the time. It was just like, hey, like the world is opening up again. Like we're back to meeting in person. We need community now more than ever. And we're doing this. And if you live in a city and you want to bring Girl Get After to life where you live, like here's an application. Fill it out. Let's do it. And we got so many applications on that first call out. I think we got like almost 75 applications, which was a lot. Like that's in 75 different cities. And I pinpointed it down to 5 and onboarded this group of women that lived in different cities, mainly around the Mountain West, I would say, like close to Montana. And we started to grow this in-person community piece. We started with 5 and that was like 2021 timeframe, late 2021. And then we've just kind of slowly grown year after year. And now we're in 20. And I think, you know, to answer your question of the importance of community and why everybody needs it, I think your entire life can change by simply feeling supported. And I think that can be from one people, it can be from five people, it can be from 500 people. Like, I feel like if you want to do something that's hard or intimidating or scary or take the leap into owning your own business or whatever it may be, if you don't feel supported, I feel like that alone makes it so much harder to do. But if you feel like you have the support system in place, which is literally what community means, I feel like you can do anything. And I think that's something that I realized during COVID and, you know, stopping this in-person piece was like, even myself, I felt like not as confident doing things and making decisions and having conversations and like, you know, for things. Because there, I, you know, my support system, it was there, it just looked so different. And I feel like a lot of people felt like that. And so once COVID was sort of in the rearview mirror and people were ready to meet in person again, I kind of just went all in and said, like you said earlier, why not? Why not me? Why not me create this thing and just go for it? And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I think when you feel like you're part of a community, it transcends just the in-person events too. I mean, these are people, maybe you only see people like in your case, maybe these people really only get together once or once every other month. You, I mean, like as an individual person who attends, like they might only go however many times, but they still know that they're a part of that community. And that support, like you said, that's really, and also, I mean, I'll finish that sentence because I do this all the time. I was going to say that's really encouraging because first of all, it'll just get you there, but it's also the accountability, you know, knowing that you're not in it alone. There's other people there. I think that was, it was a massive thing with my trips too. Like, I get it because these people, they know they're not going by themselves. You know, maybe they're showing up to the group alone, but they know that they're going to have friends there, like find friends.
And, yeah. Yeah.
As an adult, especially, that's
especially important. Like something that I've noticed that's huge with these events that we host is knowing that you're showing up to something and 99% of the other people are kind of on that same playing field.
Yeah.
Of like something as simple as going to a cycling class. You know, it's the first time you may be going. Maybe it's the first time you've ever cycled. A new studio just opened. And you're showing up with a group of women that are in the exact same boat. Like there's no pressure to perform or know what you're doing. Or like there's no, oh, all eyes are going to be on me because I'm the newbie. And so I feel like that level playing field has like, it's such an important barrier to remove.
Mm-hmm. We all need it. It's powerful. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
What started the retreats? Like let's talk more about that. Cause I think when people identify a community that they, you know, feel they want to be a part of, they will, I was just going to say, get after it, you know, which is funny, but you know, like they'll go there. It's whatever it is, like whatever you say we're doing, you know, kind of thing. And so I would love to know more about how you run those and where you do them. And yeah, like how many a year, you know, where can people get involved in all of that?
Yes. So retreats came about for us in 2022, I believe. 2021 or 2022. I'd have to look that up. But I think a couple of reasons. So one, the main reason being my friend Nicole Wilde, who I mentioned earlier, she has her own yoga business called The Kula, and she hosts yoga retreats. And she started doing those the year before, and she reached out to me wanting to collaborate on one. And I was like, ooh, that could be cool. Like, I also think I said yes to doing those and had those on my mind because I am a very organized person. I'm kind of like type A. And logistics and figuring out all the behind the scenes details and like researching, like it scratches my brain in a different way and I love it. And knowing that Nicole is like facilitating in person, being in front, leading a lot of this content, I was like, perfect. Like, I would love to be behind the scenes and do most of the planning and getting, you know, organization dialed. And so her and I hosted a collaborative retreat in Bozeman in that first year. And the feeling that a retreat group gave me as a community leader, as a facilitator, was unlike anything. So I think I felt that little high. I'm just going to call it a high.
Yeah,
That little high after every single in-person event that we did. But those events would last like an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe two for one time. And like you said, I would see people once a month, every other month, if they weren't coming super regularly. And to have a like-minded group of people together for multiple days, doing adventurous things, doing scary things, like peeling back the layers of their personality and getting to know one another, showing up for each other. Like, it was just a whole other feeling that I can't even describe. And I truly felt like magic happened. And after that first retreat, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I want to do more of these. And so we did more of them. And now, today, we have done lots of different retreats. We do ski retreats every winter. We just did our first international retreat in Costa Rica.
How exciting.
Yeah. With Julie of Ride the Earth. Shout out, Julie. We did like mountain biking was the main activity there. We've also done hiking retreats. We do a really cool trail running retreat in Southwest Montana every season. So like I kind of mentioned earlier, our retreats have an adventure activity focus. Like that is kind of why you're signing up for these things. It's the like-minded piece where you're going to meet other women interested in that same thing as you are. But then I like to bring in other things to the mix. So really fun craft creative exercises, some wellness components, some sort of movement, fitness component to move your body or recover. And places that we've gone to have been, like I mentioned, Costa Rica. We've done Jackson Hole, Whitefish, Bend, Oregon, a lot of places in Montana because that's, you know, where I'm based, where I grew up, where I love to show people. And we host those anywhere from like 4 to 5 retreats a year.
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
You're kind of making me feel a little nostalgic for my jump trips right now because I've taken a pause from doing that because I did it for a decade. But yeah, I hear you. I know what the magic feels like. And it's an incredible thing to, I think the real treasure in it is when it's that people discover what they're made of. You know, they discover, like you said, peeling back the layers. That's what happens when you're on multi-day events like this, where you're being challenged and you're among people that are right there with you doing these hard things. And what you discover is not a tangible takeaway. It's something that can never be taken from you. You know, it's that next level of who you are and what you're capable of and what you can accomplish. And saying yes to the adventure is, man, that's the thing that we want people to do. It's just because you gotta just say yes and go and then figure it out, you know, kind of like what you did in the beginning of this. You said yes to the adventure of, I'm going to just see what happens here. What if I show up? Will other people show up? You know, and now
yeah.
This whole thing that you've created. Amazing.
I think one thing I want to say on the retreat, as you were chatting, I think there's something so beautiful too about people who are taken care of on these retreats and don't have to think about logistics. They don't have to think about the timing of something or making a decision on where to go for dinner or whatever it is. I feel like that piece alone allows people to really relax into the experience and have energy and brain power to create deeper friendships or say yes to more things on these experiences and like peel back another layer.
Yeah, sure.
Like that piece when it's taken care of. I've had so many conversations, especially with women who are mothers, of just not having to worry about any of the details. It's like they just get to experience.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up and make sure you read the packing list. Those are like my rules. It's like, as long as you pack accordingly, like show up, you're ready to go.
There's always one.
Oh man. No, this has been, it's been great to like learn about, you know, the history of it and where it is now. I guess I won't ask you what's next unless you want me to, because you don't like that question, but. What are you excited about? What are you excited about where it's going?
I really feel like we've hit this flow state. And I'm really excited about that. Like, I feel like my nervous system has been able to relax a little bit of like trying to figure this out or bring this to life or make this more efficient. And I really feel like we have occupied this space that we do really well. And that brings a lot of meaning into my life. And I think it affects a lot of women all over the country, if not world, of, you know, it, if they're searching for something community oriented, like this will probably help. And I think that's sure. such a really cool feeling to have. And so what I'm excited about is just the work that we're doing and how we're showing up and how we're impacting women all over the country. And I do not know what's next.
I love really that. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely in it. And I think like something that's always on my mind is how can we keep doing what we're doing, but maybe do it a little bit better. And I think there's lots of ways to look at that. Like randomly, for example, right now I'm working with somebody to revamp the structure of our online presence as far as like SEO, AEO, and GEO, if I said those acronyms right. Like basically because AI is taking over the world. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. And I think
always something to learn.
Literally always something to learn. And I think like, how do I just do what we do, but maybe do it a little bit better or more efficient?
Yeah.
I
love it. It's a really good place to be. It's a good place to be.
Totally. Yeah. I'm relaxing into it, at least.
Yay. That's so great. Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for sharing all of this. Congratulations. And thank you for what you're doing. You know, keep going. And one more time, will you share where everybody can find Girl Get After It?
Yes. We're on all the social platforms. Well, most of them, I'd say, like Instagram, TikTok are kind of the fun ones for us. You can find our handle at Girl Get After It on everything. And then also visit our website at girlgetafterit.com to join the community, look at our upcoming retreats, buy a t-shirt, or just drop us a note. Like, I'd love to hear from you. Yeah.
Cool. I hope you get that from this today.
So. Aw, thank you.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with you and to chat with you. And yeah, I'm just so inspired. So
well,
thank you
well
so
now
much.
That you have some permanent roots here, we should get here and actually catch up in person.
Sounds great. Let's do that. All right. Thank you, Cass.
Thank you so much.